To your activity, we had a number of folks over at our house yesterday to watch fireworks. Our little subdivision, the Jetho Lake Association, puts on a fabulous fireworks show. And so a bunch of the different parents brought their kids over to see that, and we really enjoyed that. Then I had some fireworks there as well that we were able to light off without blowing up children. There were a couple close calls. Sometimes fireworks don't shoot the right direction, and there were a couple close calls. Kelly thought her hair was going to catch on fire at one point, but nothing like that happened. That makes for an exciting 4th of July. I'm just a kid when it comes to the 4th of July. I love it. I love the food. I love the fireworks. I love all of the get-togethers. It's a great time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please, in your Bible. Second, or as our illustrious president would say, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in your Bible, please, with me tonight. I want to talk about the idea of why sometimes the Lord allows us to become stressed out this evening, okay? How many would say, Pastor Monty, there have been times in my past when I've been stressed out? How many would, yeah, look at that, vast majority. I'm not going to ask you if you're stressed out right now, because I don't want to trigger some kind of incident during the church service, so we'll leave those triggers alone. But every one of us, I think, has faced a time of unique pressure. One thing I love about the Bible is the Bible's transparency. The Bible's transparency. For example, people in the Bible who are heroes to us, like King David, the Bible also shows us their humanness and their flaws. That, by the way, is one of the great indicators of the inspiration of the Bible, because when you think about it, many religious documents would only glorify their great leaders and never point out their flaws. The Bible is a very honest book, of course, because authored by the Holy Spirit of God, and so it tells us these people were heroes, but on top of it, they were also human. So both was the case. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we have the same thing with a little bit of a twist, because what Paul is going to write is that there is a purpose in those seasons of life when we come under great fire. There's a purpose in that. And I use the word seasons of life on purpose because stress is not necessarily an all-the-time thing, but there certainly can be seasons when we feel it more than at other times. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." Now, one of the themes of 2 Corinthians is the idea of comfort. And so he goes on in verse 4 to say this, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." So when you go through a trial, it is God who will comfort. In my years of pastoring, I think 30 or 31 years of pastoring, I've watched Christian people go through some very deep trial and experience grace that is beyond my ability to understand. It is marvelous. And in my own life, through some dark waters, I experienced the grace of God in ways that I never thought possible. And so the Bible affirms that God comforts us in all of our tribulation, but he does this for a purpose. Note this. "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." In the morning message, I think I mentioned the concept of empathy. And empathy means that I have gone through deep waters and someone else is going through similar deep waters and I can empathize with them. It's a little different from sympathy. Sympathy means I feel sorry for you and I should feel sorry for people who are going through a hard time. Empathy means I've been there. Empathy is the more powerful human emotion. It is the more powerful connection, because when an individual has walked through a dark valley and then they meet someone else who is walking through a similar dark valley, there is an immediate understanding that transpires without even words. And someone who is further through the valley than the other person then has the ability to say, "Hey, this is what helped me. This is what brought me to the place where I am." By the way, that's why when I find something that helps me, I talk about it. I talk about it. Pastor Monty, you shouldn't talk about things like that because you're a pastor, you don't need help. Are you kidding? Every person on the planet needs help, and I have great empathy towards people who go through some difficult things in life, as we all do. By the way, I'm going to tell you this, and I think this is important, okay? Your pastor is not plastic. I'm not plastic, okay? But when I say that, I mean this. I'm not putting on a front for you. I'm a human being, and when I go through a difficult time and experience the grace of God in a unique way, I want to share that with you, not only to give you hope, but also maybe to give you some direction in regard to that. This is part of what my message is about tonight. So the Bible says that God comforts us in our tribulation for the purpose that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The word consolation carries the idea of comfort. In other words, the more of the suffering, the more the comfort. God gives comfort in proportion to suffering. That is part of the miracle of the Christian life. When you go through deep waters, God lifts you up. So I've had so many people say, Pastor, I really went through something. I don't know how I got through it except for God. God, in those times of special stress, gives special grace, and we call that a sufficient grace, and that's what Paul is talking about in verse number 5. Verse number 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual or effective in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Pastor, what in the world does that mean? Okay, when you see me go through a hard time, my hard time is not just for me, my hard time is for you. You can look at me and say, God has demonstrated great grace to him. God will give me the same type of grace. That's exactly what the verse is teaching. My sufferings are not just to teach me something, and often they are, but my sufferings are also to teach you something about the grace of God. And again, as a pastor, I have a front row seat to the lives of hundreds of people, and I've seen this over and over again, and I marvel sometimes at the grace of God in their lives. Well, why is that? That same grace and comfort impresses upon me God's ability to comfort me. So it is effectual or effective in enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Okay, so we suffer together. Misery loves what? Company. Isn't that good? Now, I don't know. No one likes to suffer. But can I say this? If I'm going to be suffering, I don't want to suffer alone. How many agree with that? Yeah. If I'm sad about something, everybody should be sad about it. If I'm excited about something, everybody should be excited about it. Well, that's human nature, and so that's what Paul is saying. But then also this: if I'm experiencing comfort, I should comfort someone else. In other words, someone might come to me and say, Pastor, I know you've gone through a hard time, so I just want to be a blessing to you. And then I can comfort them by saying, hey, look, it has been a hard time, but God has really taught me some things. This is the whole idea behind the passage. It's not just about me. It's about somebody else. It's about what I can do to help someone else, both by example and by speaking to them of things that have helped me through a difficult time. So then it drops down to this. Our hope, look at verse number 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, Paul said, of the Corinthians. Boy, that's a mouthful. Do you know why? The book of 1 Corinthians was pretty disparaging. That was a messed up church. They got things right, and Paul says, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. In other words, we know for a fact that if God puts us in a place of suffering, a place of stress, a place of difficulty, he will also amply provide comfort or consolation. Now verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. That pressed has the idea of bent or stressed. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Pause for a moment. Don't let those words just run by. This is the Apostle Paul saying, I was stressed out. This was the Apostle Paul saying, on my trip to Asia, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. Every opposition I could have faced, I did face. This is the Apostle Paul declaring that Asia was a very difficult season in his life. He was pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, I don't believe that that is a hint of suicide. I don't believe that at all. But what I do believe is that that is a hint of how serious the trouble was, that they perhaps believed that the persecution would end in death. And so he's talking about a very stressful period of time when in Asia. Look at verse number 9. It gets more intense. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. What? What in the world does that mean? But Paul said this. He got so stressed out in Asia by the apparent threat that he faced for his own life that the sentence of death lived inside of him. It was a thought that death could come at any moment. And so rather than give over to despair, he became accustomed to the idea that at any time, boom, he could be gone in the will of God. That's pretty deep. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves. For what purpose? Look at this. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Isn't that good? Pastor Monty, how would you like to live your entire life under some kind of death threat? I have had death threats before. I think it's exciting. I haven't had any lately, and the problem with that is I feel like I'm not doing my job. But back when we started opposing the Islamic faith, which I still oppose with everything in me, because it's a pagan faith that leads people to hell, destroys every nation where it ever gains a foothold. It is a cancer in every society. Okay, they're just frank. It is a cancer. You say, Pastor Monty, that's not nice. It's not nice because Islam is not nice. Islam is a demon, devil-inspired false religion that is a can. By the way, Winston Churchill said this. Winston Churchill said anywhere where the Islamic faith, he called it Mohammedanism, anywhere where that gets a foothold and then takes control, it plunges an entire society into darkness. Nothing could be more true than that statement. And so in the time that we went through in opposition to this and were very vocal about it, there were several death threats made. The Avon police wanted to fit me with a bulletproof vest for that first 9/11 Sunday. And you know what? I didn't want to do it. Do you know why? It would just make me look fat. It would be hard to put the suit coat over a bulletproof vest. I wasn't interested in doing that. And so I didn't do that. But there was a little pressure, a little, you know, we were in our home. My address was posted on the internet. Somebody got my address and put it all over the internet and all kinds of things. So there was concern. I had a federal agent's call, and there was concern about our personal safety. So, you know, during that time, every noise I heard in that old house set me on edge. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I was surrounded by a personal arsenal. I have guns, and I'm not afraid to use them. I'm not good at using them, so you better get out of my way. But I'm not afraid to use them. That time of pressure and stress felt like a death sentence in ourselves, okay? That this is what I'm talking about is very minor compared to what the Apostle Paul doubtless faced. But in my own life, there was a lot of stress and pressure looking over your shoulder all the time, wondering what car is coming up the driveway, all of those kind of things. He said, we had this death sentence in ourselves, and here was the purpose, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, here it is, which raiseth the dead. Paul came to this conclusion, okay? I have a death sentence, Paul said. And if I die for my faith, that is okay because God raises the dead. Now, isn't that a great piece of faith? That's a great example of faith. Now, tonight I want to talk just briefly about the idea of stress. I love the fact that the Apostle Paul was transparent about this. It teaches me some things, and I'm going to give them to you quickly tonight. Number one, everyone has stress and tension. Everyone does. Godliness does not exempt one from stress. Oftentimes, I think we get this weird idea, it's certainly never given to us in the Bible, that the Bible characters, well, Pastor Monty, they had such great faith in God, and they had a vision of God, and they knew about God, so obviously everything else was easy after that. Why, the Apostle Paul had met with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and after that, everything was easy. No, no. Paul says he got stressed out when he was in Asia. He was pressed beyond measure when he was in Asia. What is that? It doesn't mean that Paul had a spiritual problem. But I want to look this way. The issues that people face that cause stress, anxiety, and tension are not always, and I'm going to say this, not normally related to a spiritual problem. Issues of this nature have many sources, not necessarily that a person is not right with God. Here is an example where Paul said this. He said, I was basically pushed to the limit, mentally, emotionally, perhaps spiritually, but it is not indicative that he had some kind of spiritual problem. We talked this morning about helping individuals that need our help in the Christian community. We see a Christian, we see someone, we're going to help them because we have a heart that wants to live out the genuineness of our faith. One of the things that people need today is a good listening ear. You would be amazed at how many people are helped just by a pastor or a friend. And by the way, it doesn't always have to be the pastor. By a friend who listens to the things they have to say and who expresses thoughts and empathy. One of the worst things you can do as a Christian is ever look at someone who is stressed out and say these words, "Well, you're just not right with God." That's horrible. That's dismissive of a person's serious problems. Another horrible thing you can say is this. See, this, well, you know, you wouldn't feel that way if you read your Bible more. Okay, that's horrible. Has anyone ever heard these things said to people? Look at the hands. Yeah, it's horrible, okay? Don't say that. Well, you know, if you'd pray more, you'd have peace more. There's no guarantee of that anywhere in the Bible. God is not a heavenly Xanax. He does not descend upon your soul because you utter a prayer. There are a lot of things in Scripture, and I've dealt with them over and over again, there are a lot of things in Scripture that teach us how to think. But what I'm suggesting is that everyone has stress. If I'm going to help someone, I never minimize that. There are different sources for it. I never minimize it, and I never say right out of the starting gate, you have a spiritual problem. Now, a person may have a spiritual problem that can contributes to that, but that is not my immediate assessment of their situation. And not only does everyone have stress, but under that same idea, this, some stress is good. Some stress is good. It is good to be bent, to be challenged, to be pushed for periods of time. How many in this room would say, "Pastor Monty, I work better under pressure"? I do. I get more done when I'm under pressure than when I have time to think about what I don't want to do. Okay, I get way more done. Those stresses are good for me. It is good to be pressed. When I was in college and later in my seminary years, the best teachers pressed me beyond what I felt was my ability. That is a healthy stress, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Everyone has stress. Some stress is good because it makes us rise higher to the occasion. If your boss puts some level of stress on you because he knows that you can accomplish more or do better, ultimately for your career and in your life, that can be a good thing. Pressure can assure that there's productivity. A little pressure makes me more productive because I understand I have to act on some things. And frankly, there's no real escape from stress. Did you know that? Well, Pastor Monty, you know, yes, there is. I'm going on vacation, and I'm going to escape all this stress. Now, really, have you ever thought about this? You're just exchanging one set of stressors for a different set of stressors. Have you ever thought about this? Recently, Kelly and I went to California to go to the Paul Chappell Show, the big conference that he has out there in California. And we got on our flights. We got on our flights just fine here. But then at a connecting flight, the American Airlines crew didn't show up. They didn't show up. How can you not show up? And then I was worried. I thought if they do show up, they're probably drunk. They may be, you know, drunk as skunks in a bar somewhere. And now they're going to show up and fly my plane? And we sat there in the airport waiting and waiting and waiting. And so this put everything far out of whack with the schedule. And so that's a little bit stressful, but I know they'll get you there eventually. And so we flew into the Hollywood Burbank Airport. We didn't go into LAX because that's like entering Armageddon. And so we didn't want to do that. So we went to Hollywood Burbank Airport. And we get there, it's late, it's probably 11:30 at night by this time. And we're going through the airport and it's quiet. There's nobody there. By the way, you'd think it would be super fancy. You know, Hollywood, the word Hollywood. No, it looks like you step back into 1982. It's honestly, it's kind of heartwarming to me. 1982, the carpet's at least that old. There's nobody there. We pick up our luggage. There's a couple security guards. And I said, "Where's everybody?" "Oh, this airport closes at night." "It's closed." Well, I said, "Okay, well, I need to get my rental car." Well, he said, "The rental car people are over there, but they're gone. There's nobody there. Nobody there." And so I walked into this area with all the rental, different company, the different counters. There was nobody there. And so I'm standing there thinking, now I'm in somewhere, Burbank, California, and I have no rental car, and I'd reserved one, and it's not there, and they could have left the keys out for me. Why didn't they do that? With a little pin it to the wall with my name on it. Nobody did that, okay? And so I said to the security guard, I said, "Well, now, by the way, how many know this is stressful?" Okay, do you know this is stressful? Someone said, did you? Everything is stress. Here's, I'm illustrating this. Everything is stress. So I said to the security guard, I said, well, what should I do? And he points to me, he says, well, there's a Marriott hotel. You can spend the night. They'll be back around 6 o'clock in the morning. Do you know how much a Marriott hotel costs? Okay, now, I came to learn in California that it's cool to be homeless. So I didn't really know that at the time. So now I realize that if this happened again, I would just lay down on the grass somewhere, okay, and camp out. That's all I would do. And maybe buy a tent at a Walmart. That's how I would solve that problem. But I didn't know that at the time. And the tension was rising because have you ever been in a foreign place? Oh, and by the way, California is a foreign place. It is a foreign place, okay? And it's just weird. But have you ever been in a foreign place and then felt abandoned? Has that ever happened to you? That's stressful. I got lost in Beijing, China, in a market with the group moved on, and I was trying to dicker with someone buying something, and the group had completely moved on. I was away from the group for over an hour. And it was the scariest thing ever because there are a billion people. And by the way, the country has several billion people and only two trash cans in the whole country. It's an amazing, amazingly filthy place. And there were thousands of people around me, but I've never felt so alone. All of this created great stress. Well, back to the car rental place. Some guy came from a back room and he walks across the floor. He was from Hertz Car Rental. I'd rented from Budget. And he was leaving. And I said, stop. I said, wait a minute. I said, hey, do you work for Hertz? And he said, yeah. He said, I work. I said, can I rent a car from you? I explained the situation. Young man, probably in his 20s. He said, listen. He said, I'll open the whole thing back up again. He said, I will rent you a car right now on the spot. He said, he'll take care of it. Then he helped us with our luggage. He brought us to the car. He opened the gate where the cars were because all of that had been locked up and it was all closed. It was all done for the night. What a fantastic employee. I tried to give him a large tip for his effort. He refused to take it. He said, just say nice things to me in the form that you're going to get and send a survey back. It was remarkable. But during that time, how many men in this room, if you were faced with basically a foreign country, California, basically a third world country, California, and no rental car and no way to get to where you're staying, how many guys in here would feel stressed out? Okay, yeah, there's some honest people in the room. We sometimes trade one set of stresses for another. What I'm trying to emphasize is this: everyone has stress and tension, okay? Everyone does. This, by the way, causes some people to think they can run. Now listen to what I'm about to say. It will never work to run from your stress. The Apostle Paul said he was so pressed that he felt that any minute his life could be taken away. He did not run from the stress of the ministry to which God had called him. And let me give you a fun fact. Fun fact about pastors. The average stay of a pastor in a pastorate is between 2.5 and 4 years. Did you know that about pastors? From Pastor Monty, God must just move them on. I don't think God moves them on anywhere near so much as they move themselves on. And I think often it's in response to running from a stressful situation. Did you know, for example, that most men, over 70% of men who begin their career in pastoral ministry will quit by their mid-40s? Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that pastoring is one of the highest stress jobs that a person can take? Now, do you want to know what the very highest stress job is? Being a surgeon. Did you know that? I read about this. Being a surgeon. And that makes sense because I can't imagine. If you're a surgeon, you can't have an off day. Does everyone understand? I can preach off sermons similar to this one, but you can't. Nobody's going to die, but you can't, as a surgeon, have an off day. And so there is a high stress, but pastoral work is considered high stress. And here's what happens: these guys jump from one pulpit to the other. They don't even stay in a town long enough to know the roads, to know the addresses. They don't. They never become acquainted with it, and they jump from one to another. And I think a great motivating factor is the idea that they're facing stress and they think they can run. I will say this: whatever problem these guys have in their current church, they have it in their new church. They just don't know the name of the person yet. That's exactly right. That's exactly how it works. You cannot escape stress. Everyone has it. But number two, some periods of life are naturally more stressful than others. I love what Paul said this. In the middle of verse number 8, he said that they had trouble that came to us, he said, in Asia. In Asia. I like to think about it this way. Every once in a while, I have an Asia period of my life. And this is no criticism of the Far East, but Paul said his trouble came in Asia. There was a period of time while he ministered there that the stress became almost unbearable, and he was pushed to far to the measure. Every person has some period in life that is naturally more stressful than others. Well, what do I do when I face one of those? I'm going to give you a few ideas. First of all, embrace the now. Embrace the now. Pastor Monty, it's so stressful. There are two ways to look at stress. You can either look at it as, it's so stressful, I'm being beaten down, and that's a dangerous way. Or you can change your thinking and say, you know what? I'm going through a time of stress, and this is so stressful, I'm going to fight back. That's healthy. That's healthy. The idea that I'm going to fight rather than submit to a stressful situation is happy. And when I view something not as a problem, but as a challenge, it changes my whole outlook on that thing. A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to speak to a group of executives of the Walmart Corporation. It was really a fun-filled moment of speaking. I was to do a motivational speech. I couldn't use the Bible per se, but I could talk about being a pastor. I could talk about all those things. And the hardest thing was when I was done, I tried to close in prayer. I came that far from closing in prayer. I don't think the people would have minded, but you know, it was a corporate thing. It was a corporate thing at Walmart. And in doing that, it was stressful to me because it was a different sort of thing. And I could have allowed that. It's not preaching, but it was preaching. But it wasn't preaching. But it was preaching. I just told a lot of stories. Well, that's what you do every Sunday. Okay, so anyway, that was about it. It was stressful. There are one of two ways I could have dealt with that. I could have taken the stress and become fearful, or I could have viewed it as a challenge. I viewed it as a challenge. A couple days before I actually did this, I traveled to different Walmarts to learn certain things. I was really doing it. I was with a Walmart employee. I was really doing it to learn things about them so I could make fun of them publicly like I like to do. I had to learn the culture a little bit. Here's something I learned about Walmart. When somebody is a flop, a failure as an employee, when someone just isn't cutting it as an employee, nobody ever says to this person, you're a flop, you're a failure. They're not allowed to do that. Do you know what they say to this person? This is hilarious. It's a whole different line of thinking. Do you know what they say to this person? They say the supervisor will confront this person and say, well, I want to sit down and discuss, here's the words, your opportunities. That means you're a flop, you're a failure, you're not doing something right, but they couch it in the words, I want to discuss your opportunity. The idea of this, opportunity for improvement, okay? Now, while I think that's a little silly, and while once you figure out that opportunity really means you're a flop and you're a failure, so the impact is going to still be there, I think there's a grain of truth behind that because I'm viewing a difficult situation or a problem situation, a stressful situation, I'm viewing it as an opportunity. I heard a preacher say this one time, that whenever God brought something difficult into his life, he was curious to see how God would bring him through. Viewing it as an opportunity, a period of life that is difficult, helps me to embrace the now. Viewing it as a challenge by accepting the responsibility of it and doing my best without breaking. In other words, this is what God has for me right now. Asia was what God had for Paul right then. Embrace the now. Another idea behind this time period, this Asia period of your life, establish balance during that time. The temptation is to become a firefighter. I was listening to a story about some young men. Their town somewhere out west was about to be consumed in fire, and a group of young men who had grown up there, they decided they wouldn't let that happen. It was just a small community, and that they would single-handedly fight brush fires. And they went to the place to fight the brush fires, and they had fought, fought the brush fires, some of them, for 10, 12, or 14 hours. Really, really arduous work, because the fire people hadn't been there at this point. They were dealing with a town nearby. Very arduous work, and they wore themselves out, and they almost couldn't do it. They did end up saving the town, but at great cost to themselves. Listen to what I'm saying. God will never put on you more than you can handle. Listen to this. Don't you put on you more than you can handle. In other words, in a time of stress, you can only do so much and remain solid and remain sane. You have to establish balance. What do I mean by that? Find time for you. Okay, I love, and I'm going to be doing a series either Sunday night or Sunday school, I'm not sure which. I love Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. He's not a Christian, okay, I throw out that caveat so everybody knows. But his book, The 12 Rules for Life. I love his rule that says this: take care of yourself as if you are someone you are responsible for caring for. That's a really good rule, because if you ruin yourself, you're no good to anyone else. And so you establish balance. You find time for you. For example, my reading time is in the morning. And there have been times in this ministry when I have become so busy that I can't focus on reading, not the Bible, but reading other things. And I kind of got away from that. I'm forcing that time. It is good for me now to do that, to go back to that. I'm establishing balance. Know in your life when it's okay to pull back, even if you have to do so for only a short time. Everyone's life in this room should be at maximum 90% full. There should be 10%. I think Dr. Swenson says 20%. 20%, 10%. There should be a significant percentage in your life that is left open for breathing room. It is also left open for opportunities that are presented to you. The whole idea is to establish balance even in time of stress and pressure. Let me give you another one. This is a good one. Paul went to Asia, but he didn't move to Asia. In other words, he wasn't setting up shop forever. Recognize in an Asia time period that this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Do you know what's remarkable about the human ability that God has given us to endure? We can endure anything if we know there's an end game. We can endure anything. For about 11 or 12 weeks, I've been doing, and by the way, enjoying being on the keto diet. I've lost about 35 pounds. I don't want to talk about this at length because it makes you mad. But you know why? Because fat people get mad when other fat people leave the club. It's just how it is, and I've been there. I understand this. But a lot of people say, well, Pastor, can you keep on doing this? Well, I think the answer to that is yes. But I'm not worried about the rest of my life. Listen, I'm just worried about today. And I also know, and here's what I tell people. Well, Pastor, I could never just commit to eating bacon for the rest of my life. Well, what's wrong with you? I can't even imagine what's wrong with you. But I would never say commit to something the rest of your life. I would say this: do it for 30 days. Psychologically, when you have an end game, and see at the end of 30 days, decide at the end of 30 days what you think, okay? Psychologically, when you have an end game, you say to yourself, I can get through anything if it's only 30 days. I can get through anything if it's only a couple months. I can get through anything. It's a stressful and pressure time of my life right now, but there'll come a time when this pressure will leave, and I know there'll come a time when this pressure is gone, and I recognize that I might be in Asia today. But one day God's calling me somewhere else, and I'll be out of Asia, and I'll be into something else, and I recognize this too shall pass. You're not always going to be in Asia. I love the transparency of the Bible. I'm never going to finish this sermon tonight. I love the transparency of the Bible, but listen to this. God put you in a stressful situation for a time and for a purpose. And those periods of life are not forever. And everyone experiences stress, and I think I'll have to finish this another time. Everyone experiences stress, but the transparency of the Bible is this. We're all in the same boat together. And when I rise up and look at it as a challenge rather than something that's beating me down, when I have that fight spirit back, look at me, folks, the fight spirit. There's nothing wrong with a fighting spirit. when I have the fight spirit back, when I look my trouble, when I look my stress square in the eye, and I say, and by the way, whether I feel like this or not, it still works. When I say, I will never let you defeat me. I'm on top of this. This is not going to bring me down. This will not destroy me. I'm going to rise above it. I'm bigger than my circumstances, and my God is bigger than my circumstances. When that fight comes back in, it helps you view it as a challenge. And understand, you're not going to be there forever. You're not in Asia forever. But while you're there, you should fight the dickens out of it, because that is what brings glory to God. Now, I'll finish this sermon another time, but I would just want to challenge you tonight, okay? Stressed out, yes, but don't view it in defeat. View it in determination and in fight. Father, thank you for your word tonight. There's so much more to the passage. I pray, Lord, that we'll continue this again maybe next week. But Father, give us special grace. Thank you, Lord, that everyone, the great heroes of the Bible, face stress. And thank you, Lord, that those time periods of stress are not forever. And during that time period, there are things we can do to see it through by the grace of God. And everything is given for a purpose according to Scripture. Help us, Lord, to recognize that, we pray in Jesus' name.